Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Good. And it's great to be back here with you. Always good to spend Saturday night talking about God's Word and teaching and making jokes and all the things we do here. And we hope you're all having a good weekend. And next weekend, as I'm sure you know, we'll be celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And over the last two or three shows, we've been talking about the impact of the Holy Spirit and how he came upon the early disciples, apostles, the early believers, and empowered them to evangelize and to reach out and to do their ministry, and how that was really quite impossible for them to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit coming down on them. And they took this little group of Jewish believers that then went out and preached the gospel to the whole world. And we've been talking about how Gentiles, although they were people outside of the covenant, they came into the kingdom because they heard the word preached by these earliest evangelists. And what they heard preached was the gospel. Now, you all know that gospel is an old English word that means good news. And that is really a great description of what this is all about. And, you know, in our time, the gospel's kind of been diluted down and has been changed quite a bit. Because in our age, you know, we don't really want to seem too exclusive and too narrow-minded and too bigoted. So the gospel has been turned into kind of a social justice, social action kind of thing where, you know, we're to love everybody and we're to do nice things and we're supposed to tolerate everybody. And those are in general good things. But the gospel that these early evangelists preached was not that. It was that Jesus had come as the Son of God, was the Messiah, was the ultimate sacrifice for sin, and that sins were forgiven, atonement was made, and salvation came by the act that he did once for all. And that is, the Greek word again is the kerygma. That's the nucleus of the Christian faith. It's Christianity in a nutshell. And these early evangelists, who of course were all Jews, who had studied Torah and knew the law, now realized that Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, had come and fulfilled the law. And Jesus himself said, you know, the scrolls talk about me. This is all about me, because everything points to him. And so when they went out to preach this gospel, what they taught was that salvation now is available to mankind because of what Jesus had done.
Right. You know, in your opening comments, you said, you know, the gospel's kind of been turned into something where, you know, we should love everybody, be nice to everybody.
And we should.
And we should. And while Jesus says, you know, he specifically says, when he was being asked by one of the, it was one of the Pharisees, you know, what, you know, what's the greatest commandment of the law?
Mm-hmm.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, in this, the law is fulfilled.
Right.
So, and he does call us to love our neighbor, to serve others. But he also calls us, most importantly, well, I don't say most importantly, but the command is still there, to proclaim the salvation that is offered through his sacrifice, mm-hmm. the sacrifice that was once and for all, for the atonement of sin. And that includes everybody. And the irony is that today in our culture, and not just in our culture, but cultures throughout, you know, the centuries, the gospel has been marginalized somewhat to mm-hmm. say, well, that's not for everybody. And,
right.
and you know, it's bigoted, and well, you know, because it talks about certain lifestyles and stuff like that. But the gospel is offering salvation to everyone, that if you repent of your sin and you come to the Lord, you're going to receive the fullness of God's love.
Amen.
But, you know, even St. Paul says, well, if we make God out to be a liar, you know, then we've really got it wrong. We've really got it wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're lost in our own pride at that point.
Yes, exactly. And the central part of that message, of course, is Jesus and the cross.
Right.
So when you change the gospel to be tolerant and be nice to everyone, you minimize him.
Mm-hmm.
And you
right.
minimize his saving act on the
right.
cross. And
exactly.
you minimize the central part of human salvation.
Right.
And although he wants us to do these things, and he says, you know, if you do them for the least of the brethren, you do it to me. Certainly he wants you to do that.
Right.
But the person of Jesus and the act of salvation has been minimized at the expense of making people feel more comfortable.
Right.
Not hurting people's feelings. You know, kind of extending tolerance too well. As long as you do good things to everyone,
right.
and as long as you're nice to everyone,
right,
then you get brought into the kingdom.
Right. I mean, I didn't come to the gospel. I didn't come to believe in Jesus because of someone's eloquent words,
right,
or someone's eloquent teaching. I came to believe that Jesus is the true Son of God by the fact that I came face to face with my sin,
mm-hmm.
with my sins. And acknowledge that I came to a point where I saw the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw the sins that I had committed, in that little episode down in Cancun, you know, the big pool of water that, I was kind of baptized in,
oof.
But that woke me up. And it wasn't because I like this verse or that verse of the gospel. It was because I came face to face with the reality that I could die, and unless I repented of my sins, I was going to condemn myself to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what woke me up.
And the Holy Spirit enlightens your mind
yes.
to understand that.
Yeah, right.
Because that is, you know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about him a lot more here in a second, but that is his basic, I hate to use the word function, but that's what he does.
That's what he does.
He opens up your mind
exactly.
to the word. He points
yeah.
to Jesus.
Who is the way?
Who's the way?
The truth.
The truth and the life.
Yes.
And when you do hear somebody preaching, it's not that person that's changing you. It's the Holy Spirit acting on you. So that you understand what the guy is saying to you.
Right.
That then opens your mind to this.
Right.
And
exactly.
I'm sure all of you that are listening have testimonies, and I'm sure you've all heard people's testimonies. And I love testimonies because, you know, when I hear Stephen talk about his story in Cancun, I still like hearing about it because it's so cool. And testimonies are such a sign of how the Holy Spirit acts on us. To literally turn our minds and hearts around. And, you know, the word metanoia, you know, you have a change of mind. You mm-hmm. turn around and you're walking a different way now.
Right.
Because, like you said, he helps you to understand
yeah.
what your real situation is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people in our day and age don't really think about what their situation is because everybody's busy, everybody's working.
Right.
Everybody has all their stuff they got to do, and they got to take the kids to soccer, and they got to do their retirement account, and they got to do their paperwork when they get home, and they got to do their job thing, and they got to. So nobody sits around and thinks about what their situation is and how they stand
right.
before God.
I mean, I was of the mindset that I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't,
you weren't killing anybody.
I wasn't killing anybody. I wasn't hurting anybody. Leave me alone. That's
yeah.
what my mindset was. But that's a mindset of pride. And once, you know, once the Lord got a hold of me, and, you know, if you're listening and you've been in that place where you've encountered God and you've encountered the holiness of God,
mm-hmm.
and you see face to face who I really, you know, who you really are, who I really am in the situation that I'm in, and you see the holiness of God. And the amazing thing is God still gives you free will to choose, mm-hmm. but his love is so strong. You know, I would be hard. It would be hard to say mm-hmm. somebody not saying yes to God because yeah. it's such a strong love, right. you know?
And like we talk about how we can't save ourselves and we can't, you know, we really can't even have that faith ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even know how to pray on our own.
Right.
You know, like Paul says, we don't even know how to pray.
Yeah.
Because it's just, that's not what we think. And, mm-hmm. you know, sure, we can say prayers that we've memorized or we can say prayers that other people are saying and we can kind of go along with them. But to actually pray is a whole different story.
Yeah.
To actually and that's talk the other thing the Holy Spirit does. He comes into us to get that prayer out of us in a way that involves your whole being and your heart and your soul. And it puts such a, you know, it becomes such a much more intimate communication.
Right.
Than just standing somewhere going bum, 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 bum,
right.
bum, bum.
Yeah. You're talking like you and I talk.
Right.
And like before the show, we were talking over, you know, some soup and we were, you know, we're talking about different things, but we're conversing and we're really talking about things that we believe in,
yes.
that we see and in the body of Christ. And it, you know, if we didn't do that and I just handed you a note card and I was right. reading from a note card and said, okay, today, Phil, I think this and,
right.
I mean, you really don't have much of a relationship going
right.
on there.
And you talk to your good friends or you talk to your spouse or you talk to one of your children and you have a typed up set of remarks to say.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah. You know, okay, let's see remark. I'm going to do remark B over here.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, Jesus came to restore that broken relationship with God the Father. And that's what this is all about. It's restoring us mm-hmm. into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And by his sacrifice, you know, by his stripes, we are healed by mm-hmm. his resurrection, by his blood. The relationship that was broken through Adam is restored.
Yeah. And in such an unbelievable way.
Yeah.
No one would have ever, I mean, if you would have been Peter or if you would have been Andrew or you would have been one of those guys, you know, Philip, who's one of my particular favorites. You know, if you would have been any of those guys, Stephen doesn't come till later.
Yeah,
but if you'd have been any of those guys that walked around with Jesus for 3 years and you heard him say just really a lot of awesome things and you heard him say things like, well, you know, the Son of Man is going to be delivered up and going to be killed. He's going to rise again. And you sat there going, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
You know, if this is the Messiah, you know, we're going to have a kingdom and he's going to be the king and we're going to have like really good jobs and we're going to be on the government payroll and this is going to be great. But they had absolutely no idea what was going to happen right up to the time that he was literally being put on the cross and they were all, we're out of here.
Yeah. Even though it was foretold.
They're going to kill us next. You know, we better get out of here.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, except for John, all the other ones took off.
Yeah.
And they, as they prayed about this later and realized and thought, you know, they still doubted. You know, the scripture says, you know, they still doubted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a ghost. Oh,
right.
It can't be this. You know, I'm not going to believe it. So
right.
I put my fingers in his wounds and can't be. I don't know. Then in one place it says they worshiped him, but they still doubted.
Yeah.
In his risen form. But when the Holy Spirit falls on them, everything changes. Because now they just get like energized. I mean, they just like the doubts are gone. The weakness is gone. The frailty of their whole being is gone.
Exactly.
And they don't even care what happens to them anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just go out and they start evangelizing.
Right.
And evangelize, of course, comes from the Greek word for gospel, which is good news because they want to go out and tell everybody the good news. Because when you meet him, just like the woman at the well, I think we did a couple of shows about that.
Yeah.
Just like the woman at the well, just like Andrew and, you know, many of these people that encounter Jesus then run out and go get their friends and their brother and their wife and their cousins and the, you know, the guys at the deli and say, hey, come and see who we found.
Yeah.
Because you want to tell everybody.
Right.
So when they, once they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, you know, in Acts chapter 8, it says they were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't care whether they were in Samaria, whether they were in New Mexico, whether they were in Lebanon. I mean, they just went out scattered all over the place and preached the word.
Exactly.
And Philip even went to Samaria, where the woman at the well lived. But anyway, and they, and Jesus had told them while he was there, don't even go to Samaria. They didn't do any ministry there.
Right.
The only ministry that's recorded is this interaction with Jesus and the woman at the well.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden Jesus is in Samaria and it says he preached Christ to them.
Yeah.
And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. I mean, they just said, wow, because this guy was in, doing such an inspired teaching under the power of the Holy Spirit that whoever heard him was converted.
Yeah.
And it says there was great joy in the city.
Mm-hmm. It's just awesome.
I mean,
when before, you know, and Jesus even, we know, as you're talking about how they didn't understand, even when Jesus was risen and they were with him, and you're saying they still doubted.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, I have to ascend to the Father.
Right.
Because unless I ascend to the Father, then the Holy Spirit will not come. You will not receive the gift, the, really the fullness of what he's come to give them.
Yeah.
You know, not just salvation, but the fullness in a fullness in the life led by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that's what Acts, that's really what Acts 1 talks about.
Sure. And then was this, as this whole evangelization breaks out and expands, and not only were the Samaritans coming, but Gentiles all around the place were coming. And we did some readings last time about, you know, there were Greeks that were coming and there were all these other people that were coming, and the believers in Jerusalem who were, these were the men who had spent 3 years with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, they had this messianic congregation going there that was basically, you know, the believers in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They heard the Gentiles were coming and they didn't know exactly what to think. So they said, well, we better send somebody over there, see what's going on. So Barnabas goes over there, and then Peter and John actually themselves go to Samaria.
Yeah.
And they go and they see these people and they're praying and they're dancing and they're praying in tongues and they're praising the Lord. And they say, wow. They're starting to think, this is going to be awesome now because we've been entrusted and we've been empowered to do this. And, you know, they prayed for the people in Samaria so that they could receive the Holy Spirit, which is pretty cool, too, because they, it says they laid hands on him. This is Acts chapter 8, 14 to 17. They laid hands on him and they received the Holy Spirit. You know, something about the laying on of hands that, you know, is important in doing this.
Right.
And they laid hands on these people in Samaria. And even though a lot of them or most of them had been baptized with water in the name of Jesus, now they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk more later and in next week's show, since next week is Pentecost. But here were these guys that, you know, not too long before were, you know, kind of bumbling around and, you know, sort of trying to understand what was going on. So now they're laying their hands on Gentiles and the Gentiles are receiving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in chapter 8, I'm just going to read a little bit of chapter 8 here. It says, now Saul was consenting to his execution. That's the end of, that's the beginning of chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about really when Stephen was stoned. And on that day, they broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered through the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him, and Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women, being handed and having them handed over for imprisonment. So by this act of the church being persecuted, and you see this over and over again, is that it seems like the, you know, the devil's got his foothold there and he's going to destroy something. Mm-hmm. And by that happening, it's like if you have a fire and you step on it and the embers go out, mm-hmm. and they start other little fires.
Yeah.
Exactly what happens
here.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. A good analogy.
And this is a really awesome song.
Ooh, here we go.
Is Paul here?
Remember, Gift of Grace is on Facebook, so search for us and leave us some comments. And on, we have a webpage, which is www.giftofgraceministries.org. So check that out. You can also leave us some comments there. Let's listen to a little bit of Paul Wilbur, and then we're going to be back with you with a couple of other announcements.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace. Before we go on with today's teaching, we're going to have Steve do an announcement here about something coming up that you may be interested in.
Yeah, on Friday, July 15th, and Saturday, July 16th, there'll be the 29th Annual Cleveland Catholic Charismatic Conference at Magnificat High School on Hilliard Boulevard in Rocky River. And again, that's Friday, July 15th. It starts at 7 p.m. And Saturday, July 16th, doors open there at 8:30. And if you want more information, you can go to www.crmweb.org. That's www.crmweb.org. Or you can call 440-774-1191. And they'll have guest speakers like Peter Herbeck, Mark Nemo, and Renee Marizon. And we were there last year, and Mark Nemo was is an excellent preacher. And Peter Herbeck
is awesome.
A friend of yours as well.
Yeah.
And he is in Renewal Ministries up in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. And who's going to be doing the music?
Myself and Denny Carlton, actually, the gentleman who used to be on this show.
Yeah, you might remember Denny.
So, yeah,
let me tell you, Denny and Steve... And Steve's wife, Sandy.
Right.
We don't want to leave her out.
Yeah, we don't want to leave my wife, Sandy, out.
They are an awesome worship team. And I personally think it's worth going just to hear them sing. But anyway, you might want to check that out. We'll say more about that as time comes on. And also, since we're doing a little advertising, for those of you that might be interested in inviting Steve and I to come to your church to do praise and worship, teaching, conferences. You can go on the website, giftofgraceministries.org, and fill out the contact form, and we'll be back in touch with you. Anyway, back to Holy Spirit ministry.
Exactly.
Did you have something else you were going
to
do?
Well, you know, when we came to the break, I was talking about how this persecution led to the believers being scattered throughout the countryside, throughout the area. And, you know, the analogy that I was given was, if you have a fire or a bigger fire and you're in a dry field, mm-hmm. and you're trying to put that fire out, and you're using something to swat that fire, chances are that fire is going to spread to other areas of the field, and it's going to start other fires.
Yep.
And essentially, that's what happened when there was persecution in the church, because it forced the believers to scatter from an area and then go out. And, you know, if we continue on just a little bit with chapter 8 of Acts of the Apostles, in verse 4, it says, "Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them with one accord, and the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city." And, you know, when we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and the signs and wonders, and Jesus said, you know, these are the signs that will accompany, you know, followers of mine. Mm-hmm. They'll cast out evil spirits. They'll raise the dead, mm-hmm. and they'll heal the sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they saw. The same signs and wonders that when Jesus was preaching and ministering, they were doing the same thing. Cause, yeah. you know, Jesus, Yeshua himself said, "You will do these works and even greater right. ones, because I'm going to go to the Father. You're going to get the Holy Spirit, and you're going to do all this stuff in my name."
Yeah, exactly.
And the Father's going to be glorified through it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this word that they were preaching was always accompanied by signs and wonders.
Amen.
So when these Samaritans saw demons being cast out and people being healed, plus their, you know, the Holy Spirit's opening up their mind to what Philip is saying.
Right.
They just were converted on the spot.
Yeah.
And then when Peter and John showed up and they did a little Life in the Spirit seminar and laid hands on them, and they got baptized in the Spirit. Man.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Because now these people who, you know, the Jews couldn't stand to even be with, they wouldn't even walk through Samaria.
Yeah.
Are now fellow evangelists.
Right.
And so now they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They go out and start evangelizing people. And, you know, you can imagine they go out and start preaching to the people in the towns around them. And mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes, and, you know, the whole thing just gets multiplied. Now, not everybody who's standing there gets it.
Right.
You know, not everybody gets it, but, you know, we like to think, as I'm sure has happened to you and to many of you in the audience, that if you're preaching to 100 people and you're thinking, oh boy, they're all getting it, might be 3 or 4 that are getting it.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of them may be saying, what a kook. Yeah. Just kind of walk away. That happens to me a lot. But because, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, you know, Paul writes that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, because they're foolishness to them. It's right. foolishness to them.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, what is this guy talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. But now when you think about these Samaritans and what happened, and when you think about the people in the upper room, which, you know, like I say, next weekend is the Feast of Pentecost. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but the people in the upper room, the Samaritans, the people at Cornelius's house, all these people that the apostles went and laid hands on and they received the Spirit, they had never experienced anything like this before.
No.
And just, you know, like when we come to faith in Jesus and we are baptized in the Spirit, we say, wow, I've never felt like this before.
Yeah.
I've never talked like this before.
Well, you have to go back and if you look at it, when Jesus was preaching and had his ministry on earth, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. But there was nobody speaking in tongues.
That's right.
There wasn't and that's the thing. The Holy Spirit had not fallen upon the apostles at that point yet. Jesus had the authority of teaching.
Yeah, sure.
You know, he taught with authority, but there wasn't, there were signs and wonders, but there wasn't praying in tongues.
Right.
Certainly he operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Right. And those guys.
You know, it kind of goes hand in hand with his divine nature.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. And, you know, those guys that were with him, they weren't, you know, just exploding out teaching people scripture that they came in contact with.
No.
We don't know if they even knew how to read and write.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were just absolutely, totally transformed. And, you know, because, you know, the Spirit works like this, it really kind of starts a new fire inside of us. You know, when back to our friend, the woman at the well, what was her name? Oh, we don't even know.
She had a bucket. She left it.
Yeah.
But
and we know there was a deli nearby because that's where the apostles went. But, now I made me forget what I was going to say. No, but, you know, Jesus talks about how, you know, you're never going to be thirsty. There's going to be fountains of living water inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went to Jerusalem in the Feast of Tabernacles and said, you know, I'm living waters. Living water is going to come.
Yeah.
You know, these are all references to the Holy Spirit. And so this now becomes something that's, you know, always going on inside of them, like a fountain of living water.
Yeah.
And so they're on fire for the word. You know, they're in prayer in a whole different way.
Yeah.
These guys would, you know, go to the synagogue every Saturday morning and they would probably, you know, say the prayers and listen to the teacher and say a few more prayers and hear the Aaronic blessing and then they'd go home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. We went to synagogue.
Right.
But now it was a whole different story. Because now they've been totally transformed. And, you know, even John the Baptist said, you know, I'm baptizing with water, but this one who's coming is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Right.
So once these guys got baptized with fire, it was a whole new existence for them.
Yeah.
And they preached with boldness. You know, it says they preached boldly everywhere they went because they didn't care anymore. I mean, at first they were afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, after the crucifixion, even after the resurrection, they're hiding. They're afraid.
Yeah.
But now they're not afraid.
Right.
Whether it's Peter, whether it's Paul, whether it's Andrew, Philip, whichever one of them, they go someplace and they preach. And if somebody doesn't like it, they say, well, too bad. They keep preaching.
Yeah. I mean, they received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They received the fullness of what Jesus was promising them, the promise of the Father.
That's right. And so they boldly preach. And this is such an important thing. And, you know, for all of you that are listening, you might be in different churches and different Christian traditions, and you might, you know, your particular church may not be into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you may think, well, all the gifts, that was only for the first century and not now. Well, Steve and I are not in that camp. I hope you can tell. But, you know, the power of ministry comes from that.
Yeah.
The power, whether it's healing or whether it's teaching or whether it's tongues or whether it's your ability to do music or whether it's, I mean, you can list all the different gifts that there are. As Paul says, they're there to build up the body. These all come from the Holy Spirit because it's been poured out into our hearts. You know, in Romans chapter 5, Paul writes that the Holy Spirit's been given to us. It's been poured into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something we did.
Right.
We didn't just go, well, if I do all the following things, then maybe I'll get bolder when I start to teach.
Right.
It's something that just gets poured into your heart.
It's a free gift.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about the gifts, there's, you know, there's a variety of gifts. There's prophecy. There's word of knowledge. There's gifts of healing, gifts of deliverance. There's praying in tongues, there's speaking in tongues. And, you know, Paul even talks about that in Corinthians, about the proper use of the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're saying, I know there is, unfortunately, people, you know, some people do ascribe that, you know, well, the gifts were for that time and we don't really, you know, the gifts aren't important today. Well, without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to, you know, you're doing it, you're relying on your own abilities to try and do it.
Exactly.
And there's Father John Hampsch in his one book, Receiving the Gift of the Holy Spirit, really talks about this in a very, I think, a good, full way, is that, you know, when we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and we come to that place of saying, inviting him into our hearts and you know, repenting as the first believers did, mm-hmm. when Peter gave that awesome sermon after Pentecost, we come to, you know, we're given our lives over and we're saying, Lord, be Lord, you know, Jesus, be Lord, be the Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean to say Lord? You know, and as we grow, you know, what happened in the early church is that when they laid hands on everybody, they received the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And in some instances, I see that today. But in a lot of instances, what seems to happen is that someone comes to the Lord, they say the sinner's prayer, or they say a prayer of repentance, and they invite Jesus into their heart. And that's a very wonderful place to be. But I know in my own life, after I did that, a year later, through what happened over that year was I came to a place of even greater repentance and wanting to know the Lord more. And once we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my wife and I, once that the Holy Spirit, the love of God was just poured into our hearts, into our whole being, and just saturated us. Wow.
Yeah.
Then there was a fullness that I had never experienced before. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here. If you know the Lord and you've given your life to him, that's wonderful. But there's more. There's the fullness of the Holy Spirit that empowers you to do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing it on your own.
That's
because
right.
you're trying to labor without, you know, if you labor in vain and God's not really building the house, mm-hmm. or if yeah. you're trying to build a house and God's not building the house, you're laboring in vain.
Right.
And you'll see a difference. You will see a difference in ministry when you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit that you won't see otherwise.
And this is why Jesus himself said, don't leave the city until the Spirit comes.
Now, can you
guys don't do anything. Don't form any committees. Don't start writing up books. Don't start making any handbooks. You know, don't start buying worship CDs. Just sit tight until the Spirit falls.
Can you imagine if they would have went out before they got the empowerment of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. That would have been a sight.
It would have been we would have had a very different first book of Acts,
at least
for the first couple chapters anyway.
But you know, he tells them in that first chapter of Acts, you know, he says, John baptized with water, but in a very short time, in a very little while, in a very few days, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now the Greek word there, you know, the word that we get the word baptized from literally means you get immersed and then you're brought out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to get immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on them just as if they're, you know, going underwater. It's going to be poured out, you know, without measure.
Right.
There's not, you know, you can't say, well, we've got a little bit of Spirit here and a little bit of this here and a little bit of that there. You know, it's poured out on them without any measure. And he says, this is really how they're going to be able to do this, because like you just said, if he would have said, well, okay, you guys go out and start preaching, you know, I'm going to be ascending here in a couple of minutes. And then once I'm gone, you guys go out and start working. It would have been a nightmare.
Right. And, you know, even if we look back at when Jesus was still alive and he sent them out two by two and they had the power to cast out demons, they had the power to heal the sick.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and did ministry, but yet, after everything happened, they were hiding. And as we're talking, you know, they were in fear of their lives because of what happened to Jesus. And afterwards, they were just empowered. They were just totally transformed. And, you know, like if you're listening and you've experienced that immersion into God's love,
mm-hmm.
I think you probably understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just that fullness, that sense of, you know, as Paul describes, there's a height, a depth, a breadth, and a length.
Yeah.
And the love of God that surpasses all understanding. And there's not words to describe it. There's just not words to describe it. And it's such a beautiful experience to experience the embrace of God's, you know, God the Father, his love for us.
Oh, yeah.
In the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. It's so much more intimate and complete.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Paul talks about how it's a newness, you know,
yeah.
It's like a new, because it's a new experience.
Yeah.
Moses didn't even have that.
Yeah.
I mean, all the other the Old Testament prophets didn't even have that. But now all of a sudden, here's these guys, the Spirit's poured on them, just like being immersed in water.
Yeah.
They're immersed in the Spirit. And Paul writes in Romans 7 that we serve in the newness of the Spirit now and not in the law.
Yeah.
He says, you know, the Spirit has made us free from law and death. The Spirit dwells in us and gives us life. I mean, this is what motivates us, what energizes us, and what allows us to do the work that he has planned for us.
Right, exactly.
They didn't form any committees.
They didn't?
No.
No.
They didn't have any meetings. I mean, they may have some meetings later, but they were too busy preaching and doing the stuff to have meetings.
They were going out and doing ministry. Yeah.
Yeah. There's too many meetings.
They were and you know, the interesting thing is they weren't planning out what they were going to do.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
It was all led by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-oh, here comes Paul Wilbur again. Well, we're going to let you listen to this song, and we're going to be back for the last segment of this week's show on the Gift of Grace.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word. Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani with Steve Garchar, and we have been talking about Holy Spirit power.
Amen.
Brother. Hallelujah, brother. We've been talking about Holy Spirit power, and, you know, next week's show is going to be more because it's going to be sort of the Pentecost show. but this is all kind of Pentecost stuff. And, you know, we're talking about how the Spirit, you know, Paul talks in Romans how the Spirit has freed us from law and death, and he's brought a new life into us. And, you know, and the book of Romans is so cool because then he talks about how we now have a spirit of adoption, and the Spirit, through our spirit, you know, we cry out, Abba,
yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah.
And we cry out, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
And the Spirit bears, the Holy Spirit, Spirit with a capital S, bears witness to our spirit that we're children. I mean, and he talks about this in Galatians also, but you know, this is the transition of the covenants. You know, this is the Holy Spirit filling us and telling our spirits that because of what Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah did on the cross, we're now adopted sons and daughters. This is a whole transition of being, you know, a bunch of people struggling to kind of follow all the rules.
Yeah.
To now, Paul says, you know, we're not slaves to the law anymore. We're not slaves to sin anymore. Now we're co-heirs with Christ to his glory.
Yeah.
And the Spirit tells us that.
Yeah.
So when you understand the things of the Spirit, you say, wow, I'm a lot different now than I was before this.
A whole lot different, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be one of those people out there, you know, trying to do things that I know I can't do and trying to go about my life and doing the best I can. I'm going to be docile to the Spirit now. That the Spirit's going to lead me where he wants me to go and show me the things that he wants me to do.
Right, right. You know, when you're talking about being adopted sons and daughters of God, I think one of the things that is so important to understand is that if you're adopted, and I think we have to understand this in the context of what were the culturally, what did it mean to be an adopted mm-hmm. child during the time of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You had the full status of a naturally born son or daughter.
Right.
It wasn't anything less.
Right. And we have that too in our culture.
In our culture, we have that too. And God's love is so much for us that he too adopts us. We are obviously purchased at the price of the blood of his son, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That was the atonement of sin.
Mm-hmm.
But we were purchased at the price of his blood, and we are heirs to the kingdom, and he wants to pour out the riches of his kingdom into each person. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's through the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And, you know, in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you know, you must proclaim what God has done for you because he's called you out of darkness into his own wonderful light.
Yeah.
You know, you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that is certainly fulfilled in the fullness
of
God's love. Yeah.
Yeah. And because we have to keep in mind, too, that God is Trinity, and he does everything, you know, in a Trinitarian way. And,
right.
You know, we can't understand all that. But, you know, when Jesus is talking about the Spirit of truth and this, what the Spirit's going to do, you know, he says, he will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So in other words, the Spirit is going to glorify Jesus, is going to show people what Jesus did, who Jesus was, how he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Going to show you how the love of the Father led to all these things happening and how this whole plan of salvation was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, God acts in Trinity because he is Trinity.
Right.
But, and if you notice on Pentecost, which is next week, and I don't want to talk about this now, but it's interesting that the Holy Spirit falls on them and they don't go out and start talking about the Holy Spirit. They go out and start talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's the evangelization.
Yeah.
And there, you know, Jesus had prophesied this, and as these, you know, as these gifts come down on them, the body's really built up. I mean, Peter does quite a job bringing 3,000 people in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Or however long it was. I mean, that's pretty good preaching.
Pretty big exponential growth for your first
great
sermon.
Altar call.
Yeah.
Now, all of those people there presumably were Jews, because they said we're Jews from all these different places.
And, yeah.
You know, but then when they realized that the Gentiles were coming too, and Paul, of course, became the great apostle to the Gentiles, he also writes in 1 Corinthians, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free, so forth and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all been made to drink of the same Spirit.
Right.
So the Spirit falls, says, Jesus died for you. This is the love of the Father. This is how mankind's going to be saved. And now all of a sudden, whoa, It doesn't matter whether I'm a Jew, whether I'm a Greek, whether I'm a slave, whether I'm free, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm black, whether I'm white.
Yeah,
I mean, no matter what it is,
we're all one.
You're now in the one body.
Yeah, we're all one in Messiah.
Yeah, and this is just, you know, and to emphasize it in Galatians 3, Paul says the Spirit comes through faith, and then the Gentiles receive the promises that were made to Abraham.
Yeah.
So now we say, you know what, I'm not biologically related to Abraham, but Abraham's my father in faith.
Right.
The promises made to Abraham, now I got them too.
Right.
I got grafted into the tree.
It's
this
awesome.
Is too cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't care if my ancestors worship the moon god and the sun god and the stuff. I get grafted into the real tree.
Yeah.
And the whole plan of salvation just culminates in this. And, you know, no matter what you believe about the gifts, you have to keep in mind that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. That
right.
It all comes together like this.
Yeah. If you're hearing the gospel today, if you're listening to this show, if you listen to any other shows on the radio and you hear the gospel, if you're in your church and you're hearing the gospel, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that the gospel has been proclaimed for 2,000 years.
Yeah. Amen.
So if you don't, you know, if you're questioning the Holy Spirit and his, you know, the role of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, you know, you got to go back into the book of Acts and ask the Lord for some, you know, for some help there as far as understanding it.
Yeah. I mean, if the whole Christian church in general, you know, as a whole body of Messiah, body of Christ, got back into the book of Acts, well, there'd be some serious renewals going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, real serious renewals. Yeah.
And this is not just something for Pentecostal charismatic types. I mean, this is something for every believer in the body.
For all mankind.
For all mankind.
Yeah.
Because now we're in a totally different kingdom than there was 3,000 years ago.
Yeah. Amen.
Whew. Awesome. I hear Paul Wilbur again.
And next week is Pentecost.
And next week is Pentecost. Oof. 50 days. We're going to talk about that next week. But wow. Now we're coming to the end of this show. It's been great being here with you, and hope you're having an awesome evening and have an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow. And remember, Facebook and www.giftofgraceministries.org. And Steve, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week, Phil. Have an awesome Lord's Day, everybody.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.